The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests of Reality Realty are not necessarily the views or opinions of Northumberland 89.7 FM. The information given is designed to be informative and helpful. You should always consult a professional when buying or selling your home. Good morning, Northumberland County. This is Reality Realty with Dave Smith and Dale Bryant. We're really looking forward to a great show today. Spring has sprung, Mr. Bryant. We are ready to roll.
Absolutely, Dave. I'm ready to go.
That's it? That's all you got to say?
I'm ready to go. What more can you say?
All right. Well, this is prime time for Reality Realty as spring is here with a vengeance. This is the season to get your house ready if you're thinking of selling. You're going to get outside, you got to look around, and you got to ask yourself, how does it look? How does my home look? If the answer is probably the proper way to pronounce that.
It's still early, Dave. It's still early. We have a chance to get, you know.
Do we really? I think we've already given up about 10 minutes. But if the answer is a resounding, my property, my house sucks, then we've got a show for you today. We have Mr. Ian Spence. He's the owner of Perfectly Green Lawn and Garden right here in Northumberland County. Welcome, Ian.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good to see you. Landscaping, from a return on investment perspective, is rated number one by almost any real estate info you research. Better than kitchens and bathrooms by some of them.
Yes, sir.
The exclusion there is the Reykjavik Real Estate Board in Iceland, which has stated that landscaping is below bathrooms as far as, and that is absolutely made up information that I've just given you, Ian.
It's made up. Okay.
Just made up. This is sort of quality of jokes you're going to get on the show. Don't get your hopes up too high. Bryant's are even worse than mine.
Okay, I'll go on.
What else have we got for our listeners today, Dale?
Dave, as always, we have the home inspection tip of the week. We will be looking at Snapshot, which is a snapshot of today's residential real estate market right here in Northumberland County, and our very popular and sought-after Points to Ponder segment.
Sorry, you heard a little rattling in the background. I'm moving this huge box of Kleenex that's sitting right beside our guest. I don't know if that's a preamble that he's going to break down in tears at the agony of this show today. No. Good.
Thanks, Ian.
I'll explain that.
Well, let's go right into full swing into our home inspection tip of the week. This is part two of my 2,394 part series.
It only seems that long.
Be a home inspector for a day or at least an hour. Here it is, Dale. Are you ready?
Yeah.
How about those windows? Tight and high-efficiency windows means they fit tightly, and tight fit means low tolerance. Low tolerance for dirt, moisture, and bug bodies. Bug bodies, Dale.
Yeah, nobody likes bug bodies. No. Better dead bug bodies than live bug bodies.
Well, but windows are a huge investment in the home. Why not look after them? They are really a huge expense and a big challenge to replace them in a home. So the sun's UV rays are very, very hard on plastics. Replacement parts, very hard to find. A damaged window or window hardware can be an injury or a fire safety hazard. So vacuum and clean the tracks, the hardware, twice a year. I like to say Easter and Thanksgiving. Festive time. It's a great time to be cleaning bug bodies out of your window tracks. At least try every window for functionality twice a year. Note any repairs and get them fixed. The same with the caulking, etc. Outside, inside, no better to make a list for later on. You do not want to be using caulking outside right now. You need overnight lows of no less than 10 degrees. So make a list and get yourself prepared, but don't be doing it until probably mid-May. If Cousin Frank stays at your house this summer in July, he could break the hardware of a seized window very easily in the middle of the night. He's trying to open up that window when he can snap the hardware, and that's when you get into trouble with the costs. For those of us with air conditioning or rooms you barely use, this tip is especially for you. Windows, I put a tagline on all of these from now on, Dale. Windows, your fair weather friend and mine. That's my home inspection tip of the week. Try to follow that,
Dale. All right. Well, I'm just going to give you a snapshot of today's residential real estate market. I'm really not in competition with you here, Dave, but...
No, you're not.
No. So, folks, listings that have sold over the past month, we've had 75 listings sell over the past month, so an increase from last week, and we can see gradually as we listen to this program and we hear snapshot how the market is ramping up. Listings for sale today, we have 336 residential listings on the Northumberland Hills Association of Realtor Board. So, what about the average price of residential home in Northumberland County? And that would include single-family residents and condominiums. On average, over the past 12 months, people have been asking for $297,000. And on average, they've been receiving $288,000. So, they're getting approximately 96.7% of their asking price in a market time of 82 days. So I take some of these figures and I calculate an absorption rate to find out, are we in a buyer's market, a balanced market, or a seller's market? And right now, the absorption rate is 22.32%, and we are in a seller's market. So there's actually more inventory than there are buyers at this present time. Interesting thing, Dave, I also did some work for an investor yesterday, and they were wondering how the market in Coburg in particular looks. And they were thinking about possibly purchasing a single-family detached home, three bedrooms in Coburg. And what I found out, because I looked back for the last 5 years, and then the 5 years previous to that, and our days on market were very similar to Northumberland in general. They were a little quicker at 69 and 70 days. People were, over the last 10 years, were still receiving approximately 96.4% of their asking price. And in the last 5 years, homes were approximately 14% on average higher for their value than they were the 5 years previous. So
14%.
14%. So it just shows Coburg is slow and sure. We're not making the national news on setting records, and nobody's accusing us of being in a real estate bubble. But we're slow and sure. So anyways, these figures were provided to us by the Northumberland Hills Association of Realtors, and thank you to them for providing these figures. And a look at today's mortgage rates. The best five-year fixed mortgage rate available today is 2.49%. Five-year fixed, 2.49%. And best five-year variable is at 2%, which is prime being 2.85 minus the discount of 0.85. Great rates. Obviously, these rates are, there's conditions that apply to them, and not everybody qualifies for the best rates. And these rates come to us from Carol Ann Bryant at the Mortgage Wellness Group here in Northumberland County.
Thank you, Dale. So things are statistically doing exactly what we're seeing out there. As we do our day-to-day life, we're seeing that it, in fact, the statistics are bearing out what we're claiming here. It isn't all made up, Dale.
No.
There's actual facts there.
Absolutely. And there's a lot to learn by listening to the show week after week.
I like that segue, and we didn't even set that up, because I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to do my pre-formatted points to ponder, and I'm sorry if I'm going to disappoint the kiddies out there. I'm going to change it up a little bit, because I got a letter from Pam this week. An email, actually, not a letter, but an email from Pam.
It's one of the letters that you received that you're willing to share?
It is. It is. And I... yes. Let's just say yes. Pam lives in Coburg, and I just want to read the first line, and that's probably the most interesting part of this letter. And the first line of the letter says, "Are you the same Dave Smith that hosts 89.7 FM's Reality Realty?" And what's important about that line is it says that hosts. It doesn't say anything about a co-host. It just says that hosts. Just wanted to point that out. And I've highlighted it there. Did you see it there? I've highlighted that. But moving on, it is a great question. And her question is this. We live in a in Coburg in a house that's about 20 to 25 years old. We've lived there 4 years, and we're now getting to the basement. The basement was done in the past. They aren't thrilled with it. Lots of little inconvenient rooms. They want to open it up, put in a bedroom perhaps with a legal egress, a large family room, and a bunch of other stuff. But they want to take down the ceiling tiles, etc., and they're a little scared, frankly. So what they're asking me is, would you consider doing a basement inspection for us? And they use the word whilst, which I really like. I like the fact they incorporated that. For us, whilst it is all open and bare. And two, would you create a report of deficits or deficiencies, which we need to fix before rebuilding? We're very nervous of what you may find, but more nervous of not knowing the potential hazard, structural or fire down the road. Love, love, love this question, and I love the idea. I think it's a great idea. So many people, including myself, find it tough to ask advice about these things. But advice and getting advice from people is how we learn. It keeps us from avoiding mistakes, design errors, accessibility, this sort of thing in a basement. The first basement I ever did, I literally developed I developed it to the max. And when all was said and done, I had actually developed around the furnace so much so that we couldn't even put a 5-foot step ladder in that basement anywhere. So you want to be careful. Number one, accessibility to all of your technical stuff. Now that I'm a home inspector, your sump pump or your hot water tank or your furnace or these sort of things, you want to make sure they're accessible for maintenance. It's great to have that extra space, but you don't want to do it and jeopardize the performance or the accessibility of these things. If you develop around your furnace so much that you can't even get in there and look after it, it's going to be very difficult to get a qualified contractor or very costly to have them come in and do maintenance or replace that furnace later on down the line. These items need space. It's important that you take that into your design plan. And also, if you get someone, and I'm not a contractor, but if you get someone to advise, and a good home inspector will certainly wave the flag and say this, you know, when it comes to the stairs or it comes to any sort of structural issues, they will certainly let you know or should let you know when they need to have a contractor come in and give them the best advice. So I love the question. I am going to follow up with Pam and go out and take a look at her basement and do my best to give her some guidance and take away some of the fear. So thanks so much, Pam, for the note, and we appreciate those cards and letters coming in.
And Dave, you know what I really like about that letter is, and I know you didn't ask, but I really like the fact that Pam is conscientious. Yes. Because how many people finish that basement and all the little mysteries that are behind the walls that you never get a chance to see.
Right.
As a buyer, you're hoping everything was done right. Pam, it sounds like Pam would have one of the kind of homes that I would be interested in because she's a conscientious
yes.
homeowner.
Oh, absolutely.
And that I would have confidence showing my buyers her home. So way to go, Pam.
Yeah, and taking the time to think about things that you wouldn't think of as part of your design plan, but accessibility to bib faucets and a proper stairs and headroom and lighting and all those things. Think of the big picture. And that's something that Mr. Ian Spence is going to talk about a little bit. Have a plan, have a budget, think it through before you start, jump in the car and get down there and start buying materials to finish this project or start this project. So we are going to throw it a break. This is Northumberland 89.7 FM, truly local radio. Join Dale and myself after this short break. We're going to introduce you to Ian Spence. He's the owner and proprietor of Perfectly Green Lawn and Garden from Coburg, Ontario, Canada. Ian will share with us some great and timely landscaping stuff. We want you to stick around.
Hi, I'm David Hayes of Cedar Rail, and on behalf of my partner, Wendy Bellin, we just want to tell you about our new show, It's All About the Music, which airs Wednesday night at 7 p.m. on Northumberland 89.7. The show features local entertainment as well as great musicians from the past, such as Patsy Cline and Merle Haggard. Hope you can tune in, Northumberland 89.7, Wednesday night at 7.
Are you a business owner thinking of retiring or selling your business within the next 3 years? If so, call Sunbelt Business Brokers. Their team of professionals make it a worry-free, confidential process and ensure that you end up with maximum dollars. In the past year, they've helped more than 3,000 business owners achieve their goals. Advanced planning can save on taxes and minimize risk. Sunbelt works confidentially, so your clients, staff, and suppliers will not know that you are selling. Call Sunbelt today at 1-888-647-7182 or check sunbeltcanada.com.
For over 25 years, Pritchard's Climate Care has been your personal climate expert in the Northumberland area. Pritchard's offers complete heating and air conditioning service and repair for your home or business. We make sure the air you breathe is healthy and comfortable. Pritchard's Climate Care has been one of Southern Ontario's most trusted installers of heating and air conditioning products. Sign up for our We Care maintenance plans and get your furnace service for half off our regular special price. Pritchard's Climate Care. We're not just your climate experts, we're your neighbors. Call us at 905-885-8216 today.
Questions, comments, or requests? Hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/Northumberland897.
Welcome back. This is Dale Bryant and Dave Smith on Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM's truly local real estate talk. As we mentioned earlier, we're talking about landscaping today, and we're sitting here with Ian Spence, owner and operator of...
And breaker.
Yes.
Of Perfectly Green Lawn Care, Lawn and Garden, rather. Ian, welcome to Reality Realty.
Thank you again.
You're very welcome. So I just want to start off with a few landscape statistics.
We love our statistics here.
They're good.
Yeah.
I like them too.
So I searched around, and according to a Canadian source, Money Magazine, they did an extensive investigation on one of their issues into the value that landscaping adds to a property. And in conclusion, what they found was well-done landscaping enhances sales appeal, increasing the actual speed of sale. Now, that's just one of the points they found in conclusion. Part of the article, they referred to a Clemson University study. I believe Clemson University is in California. Do you know, Dave?
East Coast, South. Yeah. I think... Florida-ish? Yeah, Georgia,
it,
I think.
Is that, believe, is that actually necessary? For I don't know. It was just a thought. Yeah. So anyways, in the Clemson University study, they found that a home with what they quoted as excellent landscaping can expect a sale price of about 6 to 7% higher than a house with good landscaping. Then we have another claim from former National Association of Realtors president, Walt McDonald, who claimed that landscaping could add up to 15% of a home's value. So with these various studies, and there were a lot more studies out there that I found as I was searching, these studies show that landscaping can increase value to as much as 20%. Now, there'll be a lot of considerations to be made.
Because there's so many variables.
There's so many variables, yeah. It is, yeah, absolutely. But the neat thing that I found was recovery rates on the money you spent. And once again, this was in Money Magazine. And so people ask, what can I do to my home to increase its value and get the most pennies on the dollar? And what they printed here was that renovating your bathroom, and these are wide margins, renovating your bathroom would give you a 20% to 120% return on your investment. Renovating a kitchen would give you a 75% to 125% return on your investment. So a little bit better than bathroom. But landscaping, they claim in this study, will give you 100% to 200% return or recovery rate on your investment.
Well, we talked a little bit about this in preparation for the show, as we always do. We spend, on average, about 40 to 60 hours a week preparing for the show. So we did talk about this, Dale. And you,
expectations,
sir,
will be high now.
And I think that you've come around a little bit. I think you're a little suspicious when I introduced the topic as far as return on investment, because you know, certainly the other two, bathrooms and kitchens, are the mantra as far as return on investment. But the one thing I did notice, and take them all with a grain of salt, these various experts and various reports, But almost all of them ended with the phrase, when professionally done or when designed by a landscape professional. We're not talking about going to the hardware store this weekend and buying 10 bags of mulch, throwing it on and thinking you're going to get that $100 back. So in saying that, another fantastic segue Dave Smith.
Yep.
We have Mr. Ian Spence here, who happens to be a professional landscape and hardscape, softscape and hardscape,
yes.
And maybe we'll touch on that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ian, tell us a little bit about your company, Perfectly Green Lawn and Garden.
Okay, well, actually, first of all, Clemson is in South Carolina.
Just South Carolina.
Yes, yeah, so I said East Coast. Anyways, yeah, I was in...
Stand correct.
Well, you said California. I knew it wasn't there. I said East Coast, but... I was surprised about the 20%. I've only been telling people 10%, but nonetheless, I've been doing...
Even leave money on the table.
Exactly. Yeah. I've been saying 10 to 13%, but 20, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
You can change.
I'm going to change
that. Change your facts
out now. Exactly. But I've been doing this for 10 years, actually. Started in 2005.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. So, started out doing the softscaping part, which basically is grass cutting, pruning trees.
Okay. So that's softscaping.
That's the softscaping part.
Okay.
Hardscaping is when you start getting into the stonework, the big bulky stuff,
and then
the hardscape,
heavier equipment.
That's right.
Right.
So heavier equipment,
right,
which I do have.
We just learned something. We can go home now, Dale, and go over to Timmy's like we said we would. So, what's your background? When you were growing up as a kid, and everybody wanted to be a fireman or a doctor or a cop. You said no. I want to do softscaping.
No. I was a sports-minded person.
Okay.
So that's why Clemson, I should have knew right away.
Yeah.
I was like, wait a second. I said Florida, Georgia. Anyways, but I wanted to play football and maybe transition that to basketball, but I'm short, so basketball didn't work, so I played soccer. But,
you played a good short game, though.
Very good. I just knew eventually down the road I would own my own business doing something, didn't know what
right.
that was. So I went to school for marketing and... did some marketing, so I know some things here and there, economics, all that stuff. So I know some terms, and that's why this Kleenex box, which isn't really Kleenex, I was pointing at that because this is a proprietary eponym.
Oh,
that's
okay.
what you would call that.
That's what I would call
and,
that.
Well, that's what it is, but it's a fancy
right.
word because.
Like a skill saw or a.
Well, yes, because this is White Swan.
Right.
It's not a Kleenex, right?
Kleenex is a trade name.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly. So that's what I tell people a lot of time because they know the name Bobcat.
Right.
But I don't have any Bobcat equipment, but I have Bobcats.
Nice segue.
See what I'm saying?
Now you're really onto the segue since you came on the show lately.
I was trying to prepare, and you guys did a lot of the preparation work for me with the stats. So that saved me a lot of time because I tell people that, but... Like I said, I shoot myself in the foot saying only 10%.
Yeah,
so I guess
more
20.
Credit, more credit.
A couple of things you said though. I mean, you like the physical aspect of sports, and certainly in your career, in your current career, and your current business as a business owner, two things come to mind. It is a very physical job that you do every day.
Right.
So you probably get a lot of satisfaction out of that aspect of it. And secondly, when you talk about being a business owner, you have to have a business, in my experience, to be successful. You've got to have a business mind, and then you choose what business you're in. And that's that's that marriage that usually stands behind most successful, certainly small businesses, and I'm sure large businesses go the same way. So your education was more based in those same things that you just discussed?
Exactly.
So what got you to Northumberland County then?
Grew up in the Durham region, Whitby, Ontario. So was that 40 minutes away east of here? 35.
It is. If you live in Brooklyn or trying to get to Coburn, you can make it in about 27 minutes.
Right. Well,
doesn't sound legal to me.
No, exactly. Exactly. I was like, well, but started going to college, Durham College in Oshawa, and my first year of school, my parents decided to move to Grafton. So they know this area from me playing soccer in the past, soccer tournaments when I was, 14, 15 years old. So that's basically how they got to know the area. And they bought a lot. And then a few years later, like I said, the first year of college, they decided to move out there. So I kind of went along with them because I was, 20, 21. I wasn't really ready to move on my own, be on my own. So got to know the area a bit then and moved back and forth here and there between Grafton and Whitby. And... that's kind of how I got to know the area. And,
excellent.
Yeah.
Well, Ian, today we want to talk about three key things in regards to landscaping. One, we'd like to look at budgeting for landscaping to increase the value and enjoyment of your home. And two, a logical plan for landscaping,
and
which would include where do we start,
right.
And then we'll finish up with special services you provide at Perfectly Green Lawn and Garden. So let's start with someone looking. Let's imagine someone looking to increase the value of their home. Maybe their home lacks a little curb appeal relative to similar homes.
Mm-hmm.
And let's look at a budget of maybe starting at a $5,000, another budget of $15,000, and then a third budget, a big budget of $25,000 to $40,000. So if you were looking at a home like this and the folks want to increase their value in their home and enjoyment of their home, and it's basically a blank canvas mm-hmm. that's never been touched, where would you suggest that they start in?
Okay, I'll start actually even less than $5,000 just to help the people out there a little bit. First thing I would say is your lawn. Fertilize your lawn so it's lush, thick, and nice and green.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably, I don't want to say half the battle there because it's really not, but that just gets your eye going aesthetically,
beautiful
right?
Lawn,
healthy. Yeah, at least you have a healthy
lawn. Thick, and of course it's going to do wonders too. You have less weeds and things like that. You don't have to water as much, things like that.
The grass will naturally keep out weeds if it's healthy.
That's right.
So you're not spending as much on herbicides.
That's right. So choke out all the weeds, all that stuff. So that's just aesthetically alone. If you have a nice, thick, lush green lawn, that'd be fantastic. Just go, you know, just... If you're going to do it once, like fertilize your lawn, that's not going to help. You have to do it ongoing, at least 3-4 times a year, every year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thing. Also with that too, why don't, you know, prune your trees a little bit here and there? Because I'm mm-hmm. sure if a lot of people did that, was it last year with the ice storm, all those limbs wouldn't be on their lawns and things like that. So if you cut your trees back, prune them up, make them look aesthetically pleasing, especially if you have a broken limb or something, just cut it down. Don't just leave it there.
There's a lot of broken limbs still out there, aren't there?
Yes, there are.
From over a year ago.
Yeah. So that would be probably where I would kind of start there. But the $5,000 range, now you'd probably be talking in terms of more plants, flowers, walkways.
Are we putting in gardens at this point?
Yeah, you can definitely
front
do
gardens?
That. Yep. Okay. Front gardens, you should... Definitely. There's, you know, majority of houses that I pass by, they're not landscaped, like you said before, properly, professionally. They're just kind of dull, boring, plain, just cookie cutter kind of builder basically, I would say.
Okay.
And that's another thing, too. If you buy a new home, you know, you got to landscape it. Don't make it just
right.
what you buy from the builder. You got to put the flower beds in there, get some actual curb appeal going on in there to make it attractive and to...
Well, especially if you're in a builder community, and we most recently lived in a home in Brooklyn, North Whitby, and that lawn was really difficult for us to get going. And mm-hmm. I took the dog for a walk. I saw this amazing lawn, like literally something out of a picture book, and met the customer because I did have a retail operation. We sold a lot of lawn and garden. And he told me that he had been putting sheep manure, actually, mm-hmm. 10 bags of sheep manure on that lawn every year for 5 years.
Yep.
He never used any chemical fertilizer. He never used any herbicides. And this lawn literally was hard to believe. You almost had to go up and touch it to see if it was real. Now, I don't know what the mechanics of it all were, and it'd be good mm-hmm. for our listeners to do some research. But chemical fertilizers, for those who are against the idea, are not the only avenue. And as a matter of fact, when you look at the cost of sheep manure, or cattle manure, whatever you may choose, versus chemical fertilizer, it is actually economically more beneficial. And it did, on this particular lawn, an amazing job. So so I live down the street a bit from Dale Bryant, this gentleman here in the room with us. I found out, and I'm a competitive guy, so I found out he gave you a measly $5,000. So I want to blow him out of the water. How does $15,000 sound? What do I get?
Well... Same thing with the $5,000, sort of speak. But at that price point, you could have, instead of having a 3-foot walkway, maybe you can go 5. Maybe instead of using a $4.50 square foot interlocking stone, use a $12 square foot stone. So different variables in terms of sizes. Color doesn't really matter, but it's more sort of the size, the texture, and the just the look of the stone itself. 15, we're talking about 15, right? So, depending on how big your driveway is,
Right.
Perhaps you could do something on your driveway, along your driveway, maybe not your whole driveway per se.
How about instant trees?
Yes. Trees and plants can be expensive. Now,
but sometimes you see the big truck with that huge
instant tree.
Yeah,
scoop.
Huge, yeah, it's a tree spade. Definitely. So that's one area that people don't do as well as planting trees. So like I said, usually when they do flower beds, you can spend as little as, of course, you go to the store and $20-$30. But if you're really talking about flowers and plants, probably at least $500, $2,000 even maybe. So that's where things where I mentioned flower beds would go into play. Like,
well, to give another reason for Dale to look up to me, which he obviously does on a day-to-day basis.
Oh, brother.
I am that guy. I went out last fall, and we actually purchased about 5 or 6 trees and planted them last fall.
Okay.
We put a little, we got all the stuff for the little hedge around the front entranceway. And that leads into the next thing that I think we're going to touch on the next segment. We're going to take a quick break here, but touch on the next segment. And that is the long-term plan. And that is one of the things, the vein that ran through all the articles I read. You've got to stage this out. You're not going to get that picture book front landscaping unless you plan it out, and the trees and the big things, get them going. If you're going to set your budget up, break it down to get those big things in, because it takes a while for trees to grow. So this is Reality Realty on 89.7. Truly Local Radio. Join Dale and me. We're talking green with Ian Spence. We hope you stick around too.
The weekend. Time to catch up on things, rest, chores, maybe even some fun. And that's where I come in. I'm Kevin Stewart, and I'll help start your weekend with tunes from the day in music history. Your suggestions are always welcome, and we'll also play some stuff that just sounds good on a Saturday morning. Plus, we'll tell you everything that's going on in Northumberland, and occasionally a guest will stop by. Join me for your first weekend wake-up. It's the way to get going. Saturday mornings from 9 till noon on Northumberland 89.7. Truly Local Radio.
Hometown Bingo is your community connection for fun and excitement 7 days a week.
The Hometown Bingo Customer Appreciation Bingo is on April 1st at 10 a.m. It's free bingo. And regular game prizes are $20 and $30 in Hometown Bingo Bucks. Jackpot game full card is $100 in Hometown Bingo Bucks and $100 cash. Enjoy a free luncheon, including dessert and beverage.
Hometown Bingo in Colburn, 884 Division Street, just south of Elgin on the east side. And check out the website at hometownbingo.ca.
The Rockcast. Saturday afternoons from 3 to 5, join me, Brad Best, for the ultimate music mix from both worlds. Classic rock and today's hits. The Rockcast. Everything that rocks on Northumberland 89.7. Truly Local Radio.
Welcome back. This is Dale Bryant and Dave Smith on Reality Realty, Northumberland 89.7 FM's local real estate talk.
And evidently the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band has decided to join us in studio today.
Well, Ian, we were talking before break about a logical plan for landscaping. And we started by, in the last segment, about where would you recommend the homeowners start? Should they, in fact, start with the flower beds, or should they start with larger trees, or should they start with walkways, or what should they do?
It really depends on the situation, because, for example, you got a front back side of your house type of thing. So if you, depending on where it is, like, for example, you don't want to do your front part of your house on the side with nice landscape, interlock, brick, stone, and all that stuff, and then 2 years down the road, you're thinking about putting in a pool. Because then all that equipment, you just put in that walkway, you're going to rip it all up again. So it depends on really what the person's needs are. But if they have an idea, a clear idea of what they want to do, and they lay it out on paper or in their head, I want this, this, and this, and they tell me that, then I would just say to them, okay, you want a pool, you want this, you want that, then I could say, okay, well, this is the order of operations we're going to do things at.
Mm-hmm.
So it really depends on what they want. And also, it's the person, too. Like, I can answer the question, but along the way, I can't at the same time, because it's everybody is individually themselves, and they live at the house. They know what they want. They know how to utilize it. They know. So I might come in there and say, well, we have the side door here. It would be really nice to have a walkway going from your driveway to your side door. But if they never use that door, why are you going to put a walkway there?
What's the point of putting that money in?
Right. So it really depends. Well, I could say do this, do that, and do everything else. But if they're not going to benefit from it and utilize it, then don't bother. Now it's kind of different if you're thinking about, well, we're going to sell the house. Okay, well, maybe I'll put in a walkway to the door. Really economical, not, you know, don't, you know, battle with Dale. Like, if you want to one-up them, I would say, well, if you're going to sell your house, don't bother do it. Just put in this little walkway instead in this huge production.
So you might introduce a little common sense to Dave.
Basically.
Yeah, that's not necessary.
But if he wants to boil you out of the water, that's a different story.
But it's like all successful things. They come with a plan. They come with a budget. And you put the pieces into place. And that's where you bring in the consultants. You bring in the professionals. Yeah. And you get their advice. I mean, it's time and money well spent if you want to have the success that you started with. So in saying that, we talked about different budgets. What gives, in your opinion, what gives the best bang for the buck in the world of landscaping?
That's a good question.
It's my question. Yeah,
that would make sense.
We're under time constraints here.
I would have to say doing some type of stonework, whether you're using interlocking, armor stone.
Okay.
And you have to complement that with the plants and the flowers.
All right.
Because it's kind of like a yin and yang. You can't have too many of one thing and not enough of the other.
Or it just gets overwhelming.
Right.
And I've seen homes like that.
Right. Because if you have a lot of stonework, it's really hard looking, really cold.
Right.
So if you add the flowers and the plants and the shrubs, it softens it. It balances it off.
Right. Right. And then you want a bit of a natural flow to it, a bit of balance.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yep. And yeah.
Well, Ian, I'm going to back up to a segment and a half ago when somebody mentioned hardscaping and softscaping. Can you tell the listeners the difference between those two?
Yes. Okay. Softscaping. So when I first started, like, I was all excited to be like, oh, I'm a landscaper, but I realized, well, kind of not really. But anyways, because I started off cutting grass. So cutting grass, pruning trees, maybe doing some flower beds, planting flowers and some trees. That's the softscaping. If you think of it, it's kind of soft. Hardscaping is the stones, the rocks, the bricks, retaining walls, patios, walkways. That's the hardscaping.
Almost structural.
Exactly. So that's what hardscaping is. So that's how you differentiate the two in landscaping, softscaping, hardscaping. And I do both. Some people don't do both. I do many facets.
And what do you find, Ian, that is most popular when people give you a call? What are people asking for the most?
Once again, it depends on their needs. I get phone calls for lawn maintenance. I get phone calls for stairs, steps, retaining walls, all sorts of things.
So in the planning process, and again, thinking this through, I live a busy life, and this is where you have to be reasonable too. If you're not a gardener, don't be planning huge gardens that require a lot of acumen and a lot of time. I live a busy life. I don't have time to maintain a garden, barely a lawn. Your advice then would be plant choices, this sort of thing? Like you would help me with that sort of thing?
Well, of course, and that's
match the lifestyle.
Yeah, and that's one thing I kind of mentioned throughout the week to some other people. But I mentioned, like I said, I went to school for marketing. But one word that kind of stuck with me, it's kind of like a trade-off, but it's opportunity cost. So if you have a busy lifestyle and you can't maintain your lawn, whether cutting it, fertilizing, whatever the case may be, even though you know you should, that's when you should get somebody to do it for you, because the opportunity cost, okay, yes, I'm going to have to spend $40 or $50 a week or whatever the case may be to get this person to mow it, but that time that you're saving, you could be spending time with your wife, your family, kids, and doing other things, working, making more money, and you're going to generate more than you would then just by maintaining your property you can't even do.
Right. But gardens are easier to keep than lawns, to a degree.
Yes. Yeah. That's one thing that people do always ask me too, is low maintenance. I want low maintenance.
Right.
Now, you can have flowers that are low maintenance. A lot of people think if you have flowers, they're high maintenance.
Right.
Not the case. Some plants, yes, you do have to water every day or maybe every other day. But for the majority of the plants, you don't have to do that. So just because if you want like a nice, I don't know, whatever the case, you know, tulips, daffodils, hydrangeas, hostas, whatever, certain ones go in different areas and all that stuff. So it really goes back again to the homeowner and what they want and what their lifestyle is.
And I guess there as well, Ian, is if you're doing it yourself, it's not just a matter of saying, I like the look of that particular tree or flower. You need to know where to put it. And zones. There's different zonings for different plants, isn't there?
Yes, there are. We're zone 5. So usually when you go to, if you're going to do it yourself, you're going to go to, I don't know, Home Depot, Home Hardware, or maybe you're going to go to the local
landscaping shop
and get your plants yourself. So you'd be okay that way. But at the same time, they do have some plants there that you'd be like, oh, that's so pretty, I'm going to get it. And you don't realize you do have to spend every other day watering it, or maybe you have to fertilize
it. Be reasonable.
Yeah, you have to know. Yeah, exactly. So there are certain applications for different plants, things like that.
So let's just go through a bit of one of the things for ease of maintenance are mulches. And I was, and like I say, in a past life, I sold a lot of mulches. Give me your feeling on red mulch. I'm setting him up here. He hates red mulch. Is that true?
I detest red mulch.
I hate red mulch.
Okay. Honestly, when people say that, I don't work with red mulch. If they want it, I'm like, I'm sorry, I'll do it. I'm pink frame.
Wow, there seems to be some deep-seated anger here. So we're going to move on. So well, what about black mulch? What about is there an issue with black mulch from a perspective?
Basically, they're all the same. I can't say all the same, but majority of them, they're the same. Some are pine, some are cedar. But they're dyed for the most part. But
right.
The reason why I don't like red, to go back to that, because it's not natural looking.
Right.
It's red.
Okay. Yeah.
If you're talking about black or brown, there's like a maybe
there's some beautiful brown ones.
Like a cherry kind of color. If you like the red, that's more pleasing to the eye. And don't forget, it's curb appeal, right? Mm-hmm. So you want people to draw, especially if your house is for sale, you want them to draw them into your home to be like, wow, this is really nice. I want to go into this house. Whereas if it's, to me, red, it's like, ew, I don't want to go in.
Right.
So at least that darker mulch looks like rich earth.
Yeah, that's right. It's natural.
And there's some really big up-and-coming stuff that I like. Cocoa shells are becoming a very popular one.
Yeah. That's been out for decades, Dave.
It's becoming popular on a more everyman kind of a thing.
Yeah, I've only come across one person that's had that, actually.
And then there's pea gravel, which I love. I love pea gravel.
Don't say that too loud. That's almost one of my trademarks.
Oh, okay. All right, well, let's move on then.
No, you can talk about it. But
they're going to hire you anyway.
Well, hopefully
so. That's all that matters.
But,
I'm going to tell you a little thing that happened to me just the other day. I was doing an inspection. Beautiful, beautiful home with a huge winding driveway. Mm-hmm. And they had, I'm going to call it ordinary gravel. Ordinary gravel driveway. And you know what? It's been so long since I really walked on an ordinary gravel. I love the feel of it.
Oh, yeah.
I really did.
I do, too.
And the feel of it, the sound of it. And frankly, I think I actually smiled. And I don't know if you see me during the day. I don't smile a whole lot. But
every time you deliver a dig, Dave, you smile.
That's why I come here every week, Dale. But the ordinary, it felt great under the feet, the sound of it. It was nostalgic because when I was growing up, every driveway was gravel. There was, if it wasn't mud. Actually, the high-end people in that side of town had gravel. A lot of them just had a rut, but I loved the feel of it, and I would love if I ever had a lawn, I ever had a property that lent itself to this. I love the feel of that ordinary gravel. So,
the sound of Dad coming home.
Yeah, exactly.
you would hear that gravel crunch, and it's like Dad's home.
Yeah. And it would have been handy as a teenager to know Dad's coming home as well.
It could work.
Exactly.
All right, Dale. When we come back, Ian Spence is going to be with us for a little bit longer. We're going to talk about other services he offers, and we're going to get to work.
You've been listening to Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7 FM, truly local radio. Join Dave and myself after this short break, and we'll continue to talk with Ian Spence about some of the services he offers at Perfectly Green Lawn and Gardens.
Whoa, Frankie, your car looks great. Where'd you get those awesome graphics on it?
Beyond Signs and Design in Coburg. I told them what I wanted, and their amazing team of professionals had my car wrapped and windows tinted in no time.
Wow, that's awesome.
Here, take one of these too.
Oh, cool business cards, and the logo looks great as well. They do all that?
Beyond Signs and Design does everything from graphic design, printing, signs, and window tinting.
It sounds like Beyond Signs and Design can do it all.
They sure do. Visit them at 901 Division Street in Coburg or call 905-377-0999. Or for more services, visit their website, beyondsignsanddesign.com.
All right, we're back. Dave Smith, Dale Bryant, Ian Spence. So let's get down to this landscaping thing you do. A day in the life of Ian Spence is not all buttercups and lily pads, is it?
No,
it's not. It's all not all about the pretty. It's also about the aesthetics. And this is sort of extraordinary, I think, from my experience. You also will come on call for the real workman aspect of it, the drainage issues that someone may have. Window wells, excavation around foundations. If somebody's got so it's all the home inspection aspect of it. So it has a good tie-in with me. Tell me about that. Tell me about your equipment, and tell me how someone could just set something like that set up.
Well, yeah, because basically, since I have, like I said, with the Kleenex thing, but nonetheless, I have construction light duty construction equipment. So that being said, I have. I don't want to get the technical terms out there, but basically it's a track loader or a skid steer.
Okay.
That basically transport material from A to point B. And the other machine that I have is a compact excavator. So it's a little mini hoe, whatever you want to call it. And that digs. So I can go about 10 feet deep with that. So if you need any trenching done, like David said, any sewer lines put in or big O, drainage pipes, things like that. If you want them to be like 3-4 feet deep, I could do that for you too as well. So that would save you the hassle of going to any type of rental equipment center and you kind of tinkering with yourself, trying to figure out how to operate it. And you spend more than half your time learning the thing, and then
okay, mm-hmm, now, Ian.
I'm just saying,
Ian, you're
he's taking away fun.
You're
it,
killing me, Ian. I've been working on convincing my wife I need one of these things. You just blew it for me.
Sorry.
My brother and I were going to come over. We're going to do some stuff.
You could still do that.
We could. I'll tell you my jackhammer story sometime. But what part of the business are you passionate about? What do you enjoy the most about what you do every day?
I like a blank slate. I like going to a place. Any place that I go to, I just went to one place on Monday, but any place I go to, I instantly know what they should do or what I would do, whatever the case may be, because I have like certain ideas and visions of certain things. But that being said, if they can afford it, or even if they can, I really try to implement my thoughts and what I think would be good. But I also have to listen to what they want. But like I said, I like a blank slate. So if there's nothing there, I like to see something ugly and make it beautiful at the end.
So you're saying putting in drainage pipe around the periphery of my foundation is something you're passionate about that?
As long as I'm in my machine, I love being in my machines. They're cool. They're awesome. Because when I was a kid growing up in Whitby, I used to see all the streets being built and stuff.
Right. So much growth.
Yeah. So I would see the excavators and the steamrollers and all that stuff. And I would, you know, once they're gone home for the day, I'd go outside and play and all in the sand with my, you know, Tonka trucks and all that stuff. So I really like being in my equipment, just operating them. But I like more creatively, though, I would say. So constructing things.
Right.
You know, but
beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I mean, you are a master at this machine. And all joking aside, there is a lot that can be accomplished, and it can be more economical to have an expert behind.
Oh, of course.
So that you're not creating damage that's going to cost more money and more time to repair. So you probably do take pride in being able to go around the periphery of a house without damaging too much of those, you know, the aspects of the home that have been like that for many, many years.
Right.
They may never have been disturbed. In a century home, it's never, for the most part, ever had drainage tile attached around it. So you probably do take a lot of pride in doing a good, clean job. And that's the essence of a true professional, regardless of the walk of life they're in.
Yeah, of course, because if I don't do a good, clean job, at the end of the day, that's going to, well, cost more.
Right.
Whether I have to pay for it or the homeowner. I don't want to pass it on to the homeowner, especially if they have a tight budget. But at the same time, I don't want to be going in there gung-ho damaging things, because then I have to pay for it. It's coming out of my pocket. So that's not going to make me money in the end of the day, right? So it doesn't make any sense.
And before Ian Spence even shows up, obviously the client wants to call and the number escapes me right now, I'm sorry, but the call before you dig thing as far as making sure all of that has been cleared. You probably don't put a shovel in the ground until that's done.
Yeah, so I have a number I can call or the homeowner can call. So it depends on who you ask. Sometimes, basically, if the contractor is going to do the digging, the contractor should call. But some homeowners take it upon themselves, which is fine and great because those are the people that actually plan and think things through beforehand. So they call ahead of time. They get the site drawings and everything else. So when I show up, all the drawings are there, which is fine.
Okay.
Which is good.
But it always has to be done.
It always has to be done.
There's no...
Well, it doesn't have to be done. I could dig before, but that's, I'm asking for trouble.
Yeah,
I'm asking for trouble if I don't call beforehand.
Ian, I'm thinking about landscaping do's and don'ts. I'm sure in your travels you see homes and you think, ouch, those people just put in money and effort, and why did they do that? I'm just wondering, what are some of the most obvious things you see regularly that people are doing that they ought not to?
That's a good question. Kind of something. Well, a couple things. I don't know if this was from the 80s, but, the white rocks.
Oh, the white rocks.
I
did that.
Yeah, I've seen that a couple places here and there, but I don't know if that's what people do right now, but that I wouldn't do that. And then, like I said, the red mulch, don't do that. What else is there?
Well, you see people doing retaining walls, and in my experience, I see people doing retaining walls and using it. And boy, you really, really need to know what you're doing. You're really wasting your time and money.
Yeah,
if you don't have the right approach.
Yeah, with a retaining wall, water is the enemy. So that being said, you have to have a good amount of drainage behind there. So of course you have to have the big old clear stone.
And I'm even thinking the little lawn gardens out in front of the house where they put it around the curb. And, from a new owner coming in looking at a home, if they're not that type of person and they see that wall just where they've stacked it and they haven't prepared and it starts to collapse, then that sends out a signal to a buyer.
What else?
I'm going to have to correct this.
That's right.
And I didn't even want to do this to begin with. That's where you get into the negatives from a cost perspective.
Right.
Ian, what about proximity of a tree to a home? Do you see people planting trees too close to their homes? Is that
no? Honestly, that's the thing. Most people don't plant trees as much as you'd like them to. They don't plant trees because usually you buy a property. Oh well, I'm just gonna leave what's here and go with it.
Because we're an instant society. We want shade now, or else we're not going to bother.
No
one wants to wait 75 years. Unfortunately,
I would like to see more people plant trees and get a nice mature tree. Go to a nice nursery and get a tree that's 20 years old, obviously it's going to cost some money.
We bought the biggest trees we could afford is what we did last fall.
Yeah.
We bought the biggest
trees. Like I said, most people don't, and that's what they should, especially with Coburg, up and coming, some communities, newer built homes. They might have that one tree, but that one tree came with the house type of thing, right?
Yeah.
And that's the one tree that's on the by the curb,
which
is like the town type of thing.
And the tree is one of the foundational things to your landscaping. It's a biggie.
Yeah.
Well, Ian, I want to thank you for joining us today. The time has just flown by once again. Thank you for joining us. And if our listeners, if they're interested in giving you a call to use some of your services, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, you can call me at 905-396-8634 or conversely 905-373-1957. So I have two numbers. You can email me at info@perfectlygreen.ca. The website is not fully launched yet. Nonetheless, it's there, perfectlygreen.ca. Also, I'm on Facebook. You can take a look there, see some before and afters.
And see
some of the projects that I've done in the past.
Well, thank you. Dale.
You're welcome.
I have to say I'm a little disappointed because I'm actually hosting the show. I don't get to hear us every week. That's a disadvantage of hosting a show like this. That's another one in the books and out in the airways. What do we have coming up next week, Dale?
Next week, Dave, our guest will be the lovely and talented Carol Ann Bryant, mortgage broker from the Mortgage Wellness Group.
You got all those words in. You're a lucky man.
Yes, a mortgage broker from the Mortgage Wellness Group here in Northumberland County. And we'll be talking about interest rates on mortgages. We'll be talking about pre-approvals and credit bureaus.
If you have any questions or comments or any topic suggestions pertaining to real estate, feel free to contact Dave by emailing dave@realityrealty.ca, or you can contact Dale by emailing dale@dalebryant.ca, or call into the radio station at 905-372-2391. And just one more thing. I just do once again want to thank Pam for her nice letter that she sent us that gave us a little topic to talk about. We're thinking about you, Pam.
Yeah, thank you, Pam. And don't forget to join me, Dale Bryant, real estate broker with Royal LePage Pro Alliance Realty Brokerage, and Dave Smith, certified home inspector with Pillar to Post Home Inspectors, next Thursday from 11 a.m. until 12 noon for Reality Realty on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio. Until next week.